Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. 9 sermons ago, we started into this series on faith from Hebrews chapter 11. We have been walking through the list of 10 named people, 8 men, 2 women, as well as Moses' parents and the whole nation of Israel, who were all commended for their acts of faith. By faith, each individual trusted God, and by their faith was put into action. Their faith and deeds worked in tandem with each other. Because as James demonstrates, you cannot divorce faith and deeds. The two go hand in hand. By faith, each of these people trusted God. And that trust was through tangible actions. Before we finish Hebrews 11 today, we do have one more because we're going to turn a page next week into Hebrews 12. So we're not quite done, but we will finish Hebrews 11 today. Let me review some of the Hebrew history. What has been recorded about various people spotlighted in Israel's past? Once the Israelites entered the promised land, God maintained order among the Israelites and maintained military strength among Israel's enemies through judges. One of these judges was a man named Gideon. Am I louder to you guys than what? I feel really loud. Okay, I didn't know if it was good or bad. She says it's good, but I just didn't want to be blowing you guys away. Lots of adjustments today. So the judges, one of the judges was named Gideon. Gideon led the original army of 300, centuries before Leonidas and the Spartans, 300. Routing uncountable numbers, according to the biblical accounts. Though he was timid by nature, God turned his weakness into strength. He was mighty in war, conquering numerous kingdoms. The Midianites, the Amalekites, other ites that were there in the east, occupying the promised land as they seized what God had set aside for them, obtaining the promised land. Also mighty in war was another judge named Barak. Barak took down Sisera, the Canaanite, and his army of 900 iron chariots, a mighty army. He sent Sisera fleeing on foot instead of fleeing in his chariot, as they defeated their whole army of iron chariots. Sisera ran to a tent of a woman named Jael. She greeted him kindly. She gave him milk to drink, covered him with a rug to hide him. But little did he know that she was skilled in the ancient martial art of tent peg do. Jael went quietly with a hammer and a tent to peg to the rug, and she drove a tent peg through his temple and into the ground, according to the book of Judges. I guess she made her point. She drove it right in, didn't she? Nailed it. Pinned him down right there. Hit the nail right on the head, you know? I guess you could say he was a driven guy. She saw him for who he was. She had him pegged. So Barak's defeat over Sisera was, and the Canaanite army of 900 chariots was secured by Jael and her tent peg. Another judge during this time in history was one that a lot of you probably have heard of before, the mighty Samson, who was given superhuman strength by God for the purpose of fighting the Philistine forces that came up against Israel. A victorious war hero for the young nation of Israel. His superhuman strength, also shut the mouth of a lion as he overpowered and defeated the lion with his bare hands only. Another time, he had been tied up with ropes, brand new ropes, and with the power that God had given him, this supernatural strength, he broke the ropes. Just picture, if we ever had a Samson movie, you know who would be playing Samson, don't you? Ron's like me. With his eyebrow. Right? The Rock. Breaking through. Well, after he broke through the ropes, he grabbed the jawbone of a donkey and he struck down 1,000 men. Another judge was Jephthah. Jephthah made a vow to God in order to win victorious over the Ammonites. On his way there, he defeated the Amorites, a different ite, because they would not let him peacefully pass through their land in order to attack the Amorites. So he defeated both of them. God followed through with his part, and Jephthah was victorious. And once again, we hear another story of them, of the Israelites, sending their enemies running. And Jephthah also followed through with his promise, on his end of the promise that he made to God. David, King David. David the musician, David the psalmist, the man who God calls a man after my own heart. So much could be said about the faith of David. Walking out to slay the giant Goliath without a sword, without a shield, or even without body armor on. Armed only with a slingshot, 5 smooth stones, and his faith. In which he only needed one of those stones. He had 4 left over after the giant Philistine fell face down before both armies, and once again sending the Philistines running as the Israelites pursued them. David's confidence in God came from a track record of trusting God in adverse situations as he was a shepherd of his father's flock. David saying that God had helped him and provided him safety as a lion attacked the flock, and he defeated the lion. He actually went and, I guess it had a lamb or sheep in its mouth, and he said, I went and I struck it, and it dropped the sheep, and I killed it, and I got the sheep back. He did the same with a bear, also crediting his faith in God to both of those victories, saying, here's what I've seen God do in the past. This giant's nothing compared to my God. He trusted God with his integrity. All the time that he was being pursued by Saul, he had many opportunities to take Saul's life, but he did not do so. He trusted God with his wealth through amazing acts of generosity. David's walk of faith, his journey with God, is shown transparently in the many psalms that we have recorded by David's pen. There's so much we could say about David. As with this next person, Samuel. Much could be said of Samuel. You can read of Samuel's stories, the account of Samuel's history and his life through the first 2/3 of the book of 1 Samuel. He was the last judge, so he shared in conquering kingdoms by faith as the other judges did. But not only was he the last judge, he was the first prophet in a new era of prophet-king combination of leading Israel as they transitioned from judges to kings. So the judges would conquer kingdoms in faith and receive what God had promised. They would also enforce justice internally for the nation of Israel. So Samuel was definitely a part of both of those as a judge, but then as a prophet, Samuel anointed Israel's first king, Saul, and then he also anointed Israel's second king, David. Speaking of prophets, prophet Daniel is well known for lodging safely overnight in a den of lions. Not quite the Airbnb that you would seek out. But God shut the mouths of those lions so that Daniel would be safe from the punishment of praying after prayer to any entity besides the king of Babylon had been decreed illegal. Also found in the book of Daniel, we're introduced to three gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who through faith refused to worship the 90-foot Babylonian idol. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace that was turned up 7 times the normal temperature. So hot that the soldiers that threw these three men into the furnace, they burnt up. But the three were seen walking around in the furnace with a fourth joining them. We're told that when they exited, they did not even smell like smoke. By their faith, the fate of the fire was quenched, even though the blazing furnace burned on. There are many accounts of Old Testament in the Old Testament of God rescuing and sparing his people from certain death. Many times they are saved from the swords of various armies they encountered, as a sword was a common instrument of death in war and battles. Many individuals were made strong by their faith. They were made strong in their weakness. Though their numbers were small, or they might have even been individuals, many we have mentioned today, and many we mentioned throughout the series. To add to those, prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, who spoke boldly with little to no support from their other Israelites. Looking at a list like Hebrews 11 that we've been studying through, it is a little bit of a shock to me that the prophet Elijah or Elisha are not mentioned by name, though their deeds are referenced. We'll be reading that in a moment, through a phrase that says, "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Elijah resurrected a widow's son while he was staying at their house and he died. Elijah raised him from the dead. Elisha also resurrected a Shunammite's son." Many in the list of history sacrificed social connectivity because of their faith. Moses is an example of how his leadership separated him from the people. A number of prophets stood alone and separate because they spoke the word of God, and that wasn't always a popular message. The faith of those who were exiled, their faith caused an isolation under their foreign rulers because they would not blend in, they would not buy in to the customs and the indoctrination of those nations that they were in captive of. We know of Naboth and Zechariah, who were both stoned in the Old Testament. Moses, Aaron, and David were all threatened with death by stoning. So just after a brief run through of the history, let me read for you, with all that in our brains, what the Hebrews writer says after he finishes these 10 names. He says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war and foreign armies to flight, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." such a crescendo into the end of Hebrews 11. Sometimes we would read that and not take a moment to pause and think of the stories associated, the rich history that the Hebrews writer just references. Boom, 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 boom. And we hear those stories, and I think oftentimes we put them in a category far separate from ourselves. We say, well, David was this guy, or Samuel was this guy, or Elijah. My goodness, the stories of Elijah or Elisha. But this whole list of Hebrews chapter 11, it's simply a list of men and women who trusted God and acted on that trust. That's it. Nothing super profound. That's all there is. That's all it is. Let's write this down. By faith, each of these people trusted God, and that trust was tangible through actions. Their faith and their deeds work together, as James says. Does this mean they were perfect? No. Far from it. We talked about how Abraham and Sarah, they both laughed at God at separate times when God told them they would have a son in their old age. Worse than that, we know that Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife to save his own hind end. Isaac, his son, followed the same, lied about his wife, Rebekah, said that she was his sister in order to avoid being killed so that the people they were with wouldn't take her to be their own. Of the people I just listed today, Gideon, very much like Moses, when they were first approached by God, both of them, they took the who me approach with God. Me? Certainly. You've got to be mistaken, God. You got the wrong guy for the job. And both of them, both Moses and Gideon, they started coming up with excuses of why they weren't the man for the job. And though Gideon eventually does rout a huge army with just 300 men because of his faith, the story starts out with a lot of doubt and a lot of questioning. There are a number of times that Gideon asked God to jump through verification hoops. We get those, don't we? When you're on a website and it says, click on all the squares that have a traffic light to show that you're not a bot. And you got that one square that's got like a little piece of, like the traffic light's not in it, but the corner. But what do I do here? It's what Gideon did with God. He gave God one of those, a BC version. He said, God, here's a fleece of wool. Just to make sure that I know it's you that's talking to me, let the fleece be wet with morning dew, but the ground all around it be dry. And then I'll know for sure. I'll know it's you, God, for sure. So he goes to bed, he lays the fleece out, and we've heard the term laying out a fleece. That's where it comes from. It's the story of Gideon. He goes to sleep, wakes up next morning, wrings out the fleece so much that he fills a bowl with water, but the ground all around is dry. But sometimes when we go to those websites and we click all the traffic lights, and we click OK, then all of a sudden we get a new one, don't we? Now click all of the motorcycles. I just did this. Now I have to do it again. This is the same thing that happened with God and Gideon. Gideon was like, okay, I know you're not a bot, but just to make sure, tomorrow I'm going to lay the fleece out. This time, can you make the fleece dry and all the ground around it wet with dew? So he goes to bed, wakes up, fleece is dry, all the ground is wet. So God passes Gideon's verification process. Just before that event, God had asked Gideon to tear down his father's altar to Baal and his Asherah pole. Both were instruments of idol worship, pagan worship. And Gideon did so. But we're told in Scripture specifically that he did it at night because he was afraid of going and doing the task. That doesn't sound like a man who's bold in faith, does it? But he did the thing, didn't he? Yes? In fear or in your face, at night or during the day, he trusted and he acted, and he was included in Hebrews chapter 11. Barak, though he trusted God and he defeated an army of 900 iron chariots, he would not go alone, even with the assurance that this battle was already won, according to God. Deborah was the judge at that time. She was also a prophetess. And he said, I'm not going anywhere without you coming with me. And so she said, all right, you're not going to get credit for winning this, but I'll go with you. And so she did. He won. I mean, he got credit enough to make the Hebrews 11. But we know it was Jael that secured the end of the victory with her tent peg. Samson, mighty war hero, superhuman strength from God's Spirit empowering him. But he gave up the secret of his strength for the seductive Delilah and was defeated and captured. In captivity, he had one last stand of faith and died in the process, killing more Philistines than he ever killed before, as he went down himself in a tragic ending to his life and to his story. An ending that could have been avoided if he would have kept the secret of his faith, the secret of his strength. Jephthah. When going into the battle with the Ammonites to make a deal with God, instead of simply trusting God or simply just praying, God, help me win this, he feels that he needs to make a deal with God. And so Jephthah makes a deal. He says, if you will let me win this battle, then the first person who greets me when I return home, I will offer as a burnt sacrifice to you. Church, you don't need to make deals with God. If God approaches you with a covenant, as he does with other people in the Bible, or he asks you to do something, then you do it. But Jesus is very clear when he was here on earth. And he was very clear many times when he said, just ask the Father. Just ask the Father. Ask in Jesus' name for what you need. But Jephthah had made a deal with God, and when he returned home, his child, a daughter, his only child, came dancing out to him with a tambourine in hand. So excited he was home. Judges records that Jephthah did with her according to his vow that he made. Great King David, psalmist, the man after God's own heart, God's words about David: lusted, committed adultery, lied, murdered to cover it up. I guess even King David wasn't perfect either. Elijah, mighty but yet alone, had a pretty big case of woe is me. Elijah, David, and Jeremiah all would have been candidates for some sort of antidepressant in their time. Let's write this down because it's very important for us to note that these men and women were real people, broken and imperfect. We just heard a list of the same people. One list was very disappointing. One list was very impressive. Same people. Same people. They were real. They were broken. They were imperfect. Do I make mistakes? Oh my goodness, yes I do. Guess what? I made a mistake last week. I made a few. Some of them were little mistakes. Some of the mistakes I've made in the course of my lifetime, some of them were doozies. Some were bad choices that were made intentionally, knowing this is not a great thing to do. Those peeps come in they're all connected. That's a bad choice. But I made it. I had a whole sleeve of them sitting downstairs. I got 3 of 5. And I kept looking at the other two going, I shouldn't. You're diabetic. Don't do it. My son came downstairs and I was victorious. I said, Judah, can you eat those 2 peeps for me? He said, really? I said, yeah, please. Gladly. Some mistakes I made, I don't even know that I made them. Because they just bypassed my vision. Some mistakes were unavoidable. They were just accidents. They happened. You know, you're the same. You make mistakes. Oh, you make some, they're small. Some are doozies. Some mistakes you even make intentionally, knowing that they're a bad thing to do, but you do it anyway. Some mistakes are just simply accidents. You didn't mean to hurt somebody. You didn't mean to let somebody down, but it happened. And you're sorry, and you apologize, and you move on. We're the same. You and I, but more importantly, all of us in this list in Hebrews chapter 11, they're just men and women, real men and women, broken and imperfect, just like you and I. I love how James's book is kind of the Captain Obvious book of the New Testament. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but read through the book of James. It is a book of wisdom. Great stuff, cover to cover. But when you read it, and you're like, whoa, that was deep. But then you also realize, that was pretty shallow. Also, that was pretty obvious. Why didn't I recognize that? The whole book, great stuff. In addition to talking about faith and deeds so plainly in chapter 2, we read this in chapter 5. He says, Elijah, he was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Captain Obvious. We ooh and we ah over some of these guys in the list of Hebrews 11, and we should. They acted in faith. They did some incredible things by faith. But we need to be reminded they're human beings. Flawed, imperfect, broken, just like you and I. They're people with the same nature that we have, with the same potential for setbacks and brokenness, with the same flawed human condition of sin. But Elijah prayed in faith, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. He trusted God. He was heard and rewarded because his faith and his deeds were working together. The Hebrews writer says in that passage we read earlier, this list of 10 men and women and the others that were referenced in the passage we just read. He says, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. Look at the title of the sermon today, World Worth. What is your world worth? How do you measure up according to the world's standards? Your place in life, your bank account, your investments, your house, your prestige, your position. What's your credit score? What's your world score? What is your worth in the world's eyes? Let me encourage you this morning to be inspired by this list that we have been studying. Real men and women. Let me encourage you to live in such a way that the world is not worthy of you. Because you can. They did. They're just people, just like you and I. They lived in such a way that the world was not worthy of them. Let me challenge you to live in a way that our world is not worthy of you. Not because you have an ego, not because you're living with some heightened understanding of who you are, an arrogance, but in the understanding of Hebrews 11, that you are living by faith in such a way that your faith and your trust in God and your deeds accompanied with that puts you in a category of people where the world is not worthy of you. Let's write that down. Live by faith in such a way that the world is not worthy of you. If you live by worldly goals, if you live by with a worldly focus, if you live with a worldly scale as your measure, a worldly scoreboard, then that will be how you evaluate yourself. So let me challenge you to live differently. Measure yourself by your faith in God. And I know the temptation is to think, well, I can't be like these guys. You can. We just covered that. And I don't think I'm oversimplifying too much. And if I am oversimplifying too much, you're going to have to take that out with James as well, who wrote a book in the Bible, because he says, and not putting Elijah down, he was just a man. He was just a person. He was just a human being, just like you and I. The difference is he had faith and he acted on his faith. And you can do that. And I want you to connect with that today. Today is super, super, super simple. To challenge you to live in such a way that the world is not worthy of you. And to get it through your head that that is absolutely possible for men and women living today. It's the same faith. It's the same God. And that's all it was. It's all it was for that list. You go back through, you read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. And name after name after name after name after name, deed after deed after deed after deed, all it is people who trusted God and lived that trust with actions. That's it. They made mistakes. They had messy lives. You've got messy lives. That doesn't make the difference between men and women of faith. What makes a difference is a man or woman of faith puts their faith in God and they act with that trust with actions. Tangible faith. All of these men and women that have been listed by name and mentioned by deed, they followed the first two core values that we have here at our church. They lived by the core value that God is first. I believe I put that in there. Is that the next slide? There we go, it is. God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. First core value. Second core value, devoted to God. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. It's exactly what every one of those listed in Hebrews 11, that's how they lived. There was no other priority above God. God is first, and they were devoted to God. They let themselves be second to God's kingdom, to God's wishes, to God's asks. And you can do that. You can do that. You are a person capable of great faith. Write that down this morning. This one's personal. I am a person capable of great faith. Believe that, church. If you've known God for one day or you've known him your whole life, you are capable of great faith. All it takes is trust in God and actions that reveal that trust. It really is that simple. Our faith doesn't need to be complicated. Last two verses of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews writer says, and all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Wait a minute. Didn't Moses and the Israelites escape Egypt? Didn't Joshua and the Israelites enter into the promised land? Didn't Elijah and Elisha raise those children back from the dead? Didn't Noah save his whole family and the entire animal kingdom on his floating zoo? Didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, weren't they all saved from the fiery furnace? Hebrews writer is talking about something different. Since God had provided something better for us, that's them and us. That's all of us. Southern translation would be all y'all. Okay, not just y'all, all y'all. That apart from us, they should not be made perfect. See, Hebrews writer here is talking about the final promise. And another reminder that they were just people, broken, imperfect people. They had not been made perfect here on earth. They were still waiting for that promise, just like you and I are still waiting for that promise. And it's that promise of eternal life, that promise of being made into a flawless person that we hang on to be made into a person who is without sin. That is flawless, and we live in such a way that we aim our life for that. And that faith is an anchor for our soul. All of those listed in Hebrews 11, they did not achieve perfection through their faith on earth. They achieved all sorts of things. But not a single one listed achieved perfection. Enoch might have been the closest as he walked with God. But it doesn't mean he was sinless until he entered eternity with God. So let me encourage you this morning to reflect on this list that we've studied, that each of these people trusted God. They simply trusted God, and that trust was tangible through actions. That they were real people, they were broken, they were imperfect. None of them reached perfection here on earth. The Hebrews writer makes that very clear in the last verse. Now let me encourage you to live by faith in such a way that the world is not worthy of you. Because we are the continuation of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 ends with an ellipsis, not a period. And if you look in your Bible, it'll be a period, but you get where I'm coming from. We continue because we're men and women of faith. So let me encourage you to turn your faith up, to live in such a way that the world is not worthy of you. And be reminded this morning that you are a person capable of great faith, not just mediocre faith. Great faith. All it takes is to trust God and that your actions reflect that trust. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this chapter that is such a chapter of encouragement as well as a chapter of wow. All of the rich, rich history of faith that is referenced. And as we've spent time reflecting on each of these stories, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged. Father, that we would be inspired to live as men and women of faith, to live by faith, to trust you. That's what it boils down to simply trust you. Thank you so much for all that you have done to show us your power, how much you value us. The ultimate example of that through giving your son and his resurrection. It's in his name we pray to you. Amen. Oh, church. Jesus came to give you life so that you could live life to the full. This is what he's talking about. Living by faith. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But he comes to bring life. He comes to set you free. If you're a Christian here this morning and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you've been set free from your sins, washed clean, then what are you doing with that amazing gift that God has given you? Live by faith. Read these stories and don't think they're so far here. Look at these men and women as equals. Not that you're bringing them down to your level, but that you understand you are capable of reaching the same level of faith that they had. And it's just simple. Trust God, trust God, trust God, and live and live and live. Trust him and do. Trust and do. Believe and act. Put your faith in him and accompany your faith with deeds. It really is that simple. So be encouraged this morning. During our next song, during our invitation song, spend some time with God asking for the courage. Go back and read the first chapter of Joshua. We've talked about Joshua a little bit in this series. And there's some pretty awesome stuff that you read about there in Joshua. Read that first chapter. And how much God set the scene with him saying, be courageous. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. You be courageous. So today, maybe your prayer is that God gives you courage. That he removes anything that would discourage you, that would hold you back, that would hinder you. And pray for courage to live as men and women of faith.